about today, are you? Amen? What I want to do is I want to encourage you right now before I jump into the Word that this year would be a year that as soon as we, before we get here, on the way here, we would begin to come with an expectation that God's going to do something supernatural, that there would be an excitement brewing within us, that when we enter into the building and we see our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, we get excited, and we don't hold it in, and we let it come out. When praise and worship starts, we just let it all go. Like, because this is about you, God, not about me. Amen? Okay, some of you are with me. It's okay to get excited in the house of the Lord. It's okay to be exuberant. It's okay to be verbal and vocal when it comes to praising Jesus. It's okay. Some of you may have grown up in church where you were told, sit there, don't talk, don't move, because if you do, you are a different individual when you get in that car in the parking lot. Right? Right? You ever hear that? You ever have that conversation with your kids? Were you the child? But it's okay to release the excitement that's within you because of what Jesus did on the cross. So I want to encourage you that you would not make a resolution, because resolutions never get fulfilled, but you make a promise with God. Because when you make a promise with God, then you're really accountable. That God, that 2019 would be a year that I release all that I have, my love, my excitement, and joy for you, it would be released out of me. And people around me would know that I love you, that I'm excited to be in your house or in your presence, and it's just going to come out of me. It's just going to come on. I encourage you to make that promise that God would do that in you. Amen? I want to share a word today with you. It's called alignment and release. Alignment and release. Now, 2019 is here, and many of you have said this statement. You have said that 2019 is my year to get closer with God. It's my year to read the Bible longer, to pray harder, to fast for the first time, second time, more than, you know, a cup of coffee a day. But this year is my year to really press into new levels with God. Have anyone in this house said that? Y'all said that? Great. Awesome. Here's the deal. For that to happen, there's going to need to be some action on your part to see it come to pass. I've said multiple things like that before, too. I said, this is the year that I'll wear a 28-inch waist pair of pants. This is the year that I will this, or this is the year that I will that, and this is the year. And when I found myself, I don't know about you, but me, I don't know about you, I found myself in January saying, I'm going to start tomorrow. February, I'm going to start. March, I totally forgot what I said I was going to do in January. But if you've made that decision, if you made that choice, you've come to the right service today, because today is about alignment and release. Because in order for you to do those things that you said you're going to do with God or the things of God, it's going to take an alignment process in your life, which means there's going to have some action on your part to align yourself with God. So when you're aligned with God, we're hearing His voice with clarity, and there's a release from the heavens into our lives that as God's releasing into us, we are doing that which we said we would do with Him and in Him. Amen? Now, I understand that in the process of that, there will be seasons of wait. But Ecclesiastes says this, because I need to say this to you, because at times I've used, this one before. Well, brother, I'm waiting on the Lord. The problem is, I've used that excuse in the past. I said, I'm waiting on the Lord, and then I fell asleep. I've slumbered, and I've waited, because I've waited for the right conditions of what I thought were the right conditions. And I waited for the stars to align with the planets and the planets to align with Earth and Earth to be at a certain rotation at a certain time of the season in order for me to step out and be. And this is what the Word says, though. It says, if we wait for perfect conditions in Ecclesiastes, you'll never get anything done. If I stay this month and say this, if I say, I am going to align with you, God, I'm going to be who you called me to be. I'm going to have those things that you promised to my life, to my church, to my family, released into today's atmosphere. If I just sit there and keep saying it over and over, it's not going to come to pass in the fullness of which God wants to do. I have to actually begin to position. I have to do what is necessary to come in alignment with what God is doing and what God is saying. And that's what today is about. It's about alignment. How many have ever gone to the chiropractor? Right, y'all been a chiropractor? I never used to go. I went one time and I got readjusted, and I was running in Florida, and my leg went dead. And I literally couldn't move my leg. I was like dragging it. Now, it wasn't from the chiropractor, but in my head, it was like, he did something wrong. But you've been to a chiropractor because your back's out of alignment, right? And how many know that when your back's out of alignment, your whole life is affected by it, right? Your muscles are fatigued. You at times don't think with clarity. Your thought process of what's going on can get fuzzy at times, right? Not only that, but it's even said that sometimes a leg can be longer than the other because you're all, you know, out of whack, and you can like walk weird and not walk properly the way that you should. How many know that when your back's out of alignment, it could affect your breathing, it could affect your immunity system? These are things that happen because we're not in perfect alignment of which the way God created us to be and which the way God created the body to be. So therefore, if one little thing is out of alignment, it throws a whole bunch of other stuff off course, right? It's no different with God. It's no different with God. If you and I are out of alignment with God's perfect plan and will for our lives, we too can have other things affected in our life. I looked at those in the natural, and I began to think, wow, so if I'm out of line with God, it means that it affects my legs, but my legs are what takes me from point A to point B, keeps me on track from walking or to doing, so it could affect even my ability to stay on the right path. I thought of weakness and fatigue, that if I'm out of line with God, I just seem to keep going and going, but nothing's happening. I'm getting tired. I'm getting frustrated. I don't think with clarity because I'm beginning to not think with my own thoughts. I begin to think with my own thoughts, not the thoughts and the promises and the words of God, and so it could affect my ability to think and perceive what God is saying to me. It says that it talks about low immunity levels. There's a resistance against viral and bacterial attacks. Well, if I have a low immune system in my spirit, man, I'm susceptible to the attack of the enemy, and if I'm not thinking clearly, I could fall prey to what the devil's trying to do by pulling me off of the plane. Do you see how if I'm not in alignment with God, it can affect my whole being in the realm of what God's called me to do and called me to be? Right? That's good to know. That's good to know. Because now we can make the adjustments necessary to get in line with what God's saying. I'm excited to share this because I believe this is life-changing. I believe that if we take the word today and we apply it and begin to allow God to work it into us and we're faithful in what we need to do on our part, you're going to see some breakthrough in 2019, greater than before. You know, I could sit at home and pray that, oh God, that this would happen or that would happen, but the reality is I need to do what is necessary to get myself in alignment with what God does. But how many people know, though, that when you go to the chiropractor, that in the midst of adjustment, it can be painful. Discomfort, right? I have this chiropractor that I go to. She's a tiny little thing. She's about the size of my daughter. Not real big at all. And the first time I met her, I was like, what is this girl going to do? I'm thinking in my head, there's no way. What is this little thing going to do? Next thing you know, I'm like, whoa, easy now, calm down, you know. It's like, you know, cracking and doing this and adjusting and, you know, and then legs over here, kneels down and does that. I'm like, whoa. And I get up, I'm like, holy cow. I feel good. I was in a lot of pain, but man, I feel good. Why? Because I'm aligned. She was like, oh, your leg's off, I'll fix that. Oh, okay, yeah, I feel good, all right, yeah. Understand, in the natural, when alignment takes place, there may be discomfort. Understand in the spiritual, when alignment takes place, there may be discomfort. Because in that, in the spirit, in, when I'm talking about us, we become creatures of habit. We become creatures of comfort. We become individuals that like it our way. And if it's not our way, then it's the wrong way. But the reality is it's really not the wrong way. It's God's way. And sometimes we don't think and see things the way God thinks and sees things. And so when God begins to align us and readjust us, there's a discomfort pattern or discomfort component to it. And that's okay. That's okay to go through that because it teaches us some things. I have learned what I can do and can't do in the sense of how I should do things so I'm no longer getting out of alignment. I was here at the church one time, and I have some real weird tendencies. Like, I drove in a bunch of days coming to the parking lot on the Lakeview roadside, and I saw all the stones in the driveway, at the end of the driveway. It drove me crazy. Literally, you can talk to people here. There are certain things that just drive me crazy. On Mondays, you'll find me in the kids' rooms fixing and straightening and aligning the chairs perfectly. It just drives me crazy. It's me. It's just how I'm wired. So I saw these stones, and every time someone would pull out, the stones would kick up and be thrown into the driveway. So when you pulled in, it just looked dirty to me. It looked like unwelcoming. And so I'm like, you know what? I don't expect someone else to do it. I'm going to do it. So I go grab the broom. Because if your leader is not willing to do something but expects you to do it, they're not a good leader. So I grabbed the broom and I walked out to the front road over there with my push broom, and I began to push broom stones because I want it to look nice. Who would have thought by doing this, all of a sudden I'm on my knees going, whoa, what is happening? But I learned that I was doing something wrong. And so after I got adjusted and fixed and all set, now when I go back to push broom the stones, I know how to do it the right way. So I'm not going to be thrown back out of alignment. And see, we do that in the spirit as well. We can learn from what's going on or what took place that after we get adjusted, as we continue to move forward, we're not going to go back and do the same thing. And so today's about adjustment. But I want to share real quick what I believe we're some of the reasons why we're adjusting is because God has a word for us. When we're in alignment, we're actually getting in the appropriate position, the position of agreement with God. See, align means to get into the proper, appropriate position. It also means the position of agreement. And so when I align with God, I'm agreeing with what God may be saying, whether it's through his word, whether it's through prophetic word, whether it's through a dream or vision, whatever it may be. But when I come into alignment, I'm coming into agreement with what the Father is saying to us individually, but also to us corporately. I did, as I was preparing for this message, a lot of churches, their very first Sunday, they were ready to preach a message about what God is saying for their church in 2019. Well, I couldn't do that because I didn't hear the word yet. And what I didn't want to do is I didn't want to listen to other voices that God uses in the church realm to hear words spoken about what they're saying corporately for the church. As your pastor, I wanted to make sure that I heard the word for our church, for you and for myself and for us as a church family. Now, I didn't want to listen to them first because I didn't want to take what I thought God was saying for everybody in one way and say it's only for us. So what I did was I waited. And I kept praying, God, what's the word for the house? What's the word for your family at SCC? What's the word for all the people and all the children? What's the word for the DNA that you've created this house in? And I don't know about you, but for some unknown reason, God loves to really speak with great clarity to me in the shower. That's just a place where he just seems to, I just hear with such clarity what he's saying. I don't understand why, but that's just one of those areas. And so I was in the shower and I heard two words. And these are the title of my message, Alignment and Release, that 2019 is going to be a year where the body of Christ, the individual believers, will truly step up and get in alignment with God's word, with God's promises, with God's purposes, and with God's plans. And in the midst, go ahead, and in the midst of that alignment, there is going to be such a release from the heavens. There will be a tangible evidence that God is doing something greater than we've seen in the past set of years before us. So I was excited. I'm like, okay. And throughout the day and throughout the next day or so, he began to give me other components regarding that. Because I'm like, God, that's kind of a big word, you know, kind of a broad spectrum. I understand we should get alignment. But he began to show me this. He began to say this. He says, at Cell Towns, there's going to be an outpouring and a hunger for true intimacy with God for those who are willing to pursue him. There's going to be an intimacy and a connection to the Father's heart. It's going to be a year of deeper revelation for you individually with your relationship with God. It's going to be a year of intense, radical disciples being made. But in order to become an intense disciple, radical, like never be seen before, it's a choice that we make. I have to choose to become the disciple that Jesus wants me to be. And in the process of choosing, that means I'm going to align with all that God wants me to be aligned with. But here's the deal, church folk. I said church folk, because there's a different thing between church folk and radical disciples. Church folk, many times, are comfortable. Hear me. Here, as I speak, what the Lord was speaking to me. We're comfortable. We want to come in, the heat on, to play the right songs, the lighting the certain way, this, and that. We feel good and comfy. We get a word that tickles us, that comforts us, that oh, I was so blessed today by Pastor Rob when he came up and encouraged me. Then we go home and forget about it. But God's saying that 2019, there's going to be an uprising of individuals that have become radical disciples of Jesus Christ. And they're not going to care what people think or say. They're not going to care what people view them or how they view them. But they're going to consume the churches across the states. And then in the process of consumption, there are going to be a bunch of church folk that have been so comfortable that they're going to be upset about it, and they're going to miss the move of God. And I want to encourage you, don't be that individual that gets so upset about these young radicals, these middle-aged radicals, these old, I don't say old, but these upper-age radicals, the radicals that are that church is rising up. Don't get upset with them because they're doing something and God's pouring. Join alongside. He said that the glory of the Lord for this house is going to return in a greater degree than ever before, than in the previous years. And if you've been around this place, you know that the glory has consumed this place. These pews will be filled. I gave you the number weeks ago that the Lord gave me for this house. Now, you could believe me and pray for it to come to pass, or you could say that I'm crazy, and that's okay. A lot of people say I'm crazy because I love Jesus. I'm okay with that. I've come to terms with that. I spoke to my counselor about it. His name is Jesus. And he said, listen, they made fun of me, and I'm the Son of God. What makes you think that they're not going to make fun of you and think you're crazy? I said, you're right. I'm all in. But the glory cloud, 3 or 4 weeks ago in intercessory prayer and other prayer groups, prophetically shown the glory cloud returning. And as the glory cloud returns, the presence of God's anointing is going to increase in such a greater dimension that through intercessory prayer and through fasting, because radical, intense disciples have no problem with coming to prayer meetings, have no problem with fasting, have no problem in pressing in, because of their prayers and because of what they're involved in, you're going to see the church begin to grow through salvation. Great salvation in 2019. Some of you have been praying for your sons and daughters and grandchildren to come to know Jesus. You're going to see some of them come to know Jesus in a personal manner in 2019. And this isn't just a broad thing that I'm talking about. You're going to see the miracle healing power of God returning to the church in America. Now, some of you may not have the ability to believe for that. But when you see it happen, it will change you. I believe this so much that I'm planning a healing service in February. We're going to have a healing service here in February. We're going to come and hear the word about what the word talks about healing, and then we're going to pray. We're going to anoint people with oil, and we are going to pray. for healing and restoration upon whatever they need healing and restoration upon. Why? Because God can do it. Why? Because it's by the power of his blood that was shed on Calvary that we are healed of every sickness, every infirmity, and every disease. And so we will stand on the word of God, and we will declare the word of God, and we will live the word of God, because it's 2019, and this is what he's saying is going to begin to be released. Now, I could think about it, I could talk about it, I could sit on my couch and dream about it, but I'm going to actually align myself with what God's word says, and we will begin to do certain things. That's how we're moving. That's where we're going. But it's not just for me, but it's also, what are the words God gave you? And so this is what I believe is beginning to happen and stir and shake. And then the last thing component that he shared with me, and we saw this already happening, the promised words that God had spoken to the church and also to us individually, we've seen many come to pass already. But he was sharing with me that the words that he had promised from past prophetic words and words over our lives, there's going to be an expediency in some of those words happening right away, right away, right away, that they're going to be fulfilled right away. That's what's going to, I believe, the word for this house in 2019 is. And so once God gave me all this, I wrote it down, I've been praying about it, then I went to the voices that I believe are voices in the church themselves. And I began to read what they were sharing, what they believed the Lord was saying for 2019. And it's amazing on how everything that the Lord shared with me lined up with what they were saying for the church body. I was so excited to know that it's not only here, but it's across America. Because how many people know America needs Jesus, right? Our community needs Jesus. Our city needs Jesus. My neighborhood needs Jesus. My favorite supermarket down the street needs Jesus. Come on, right? So, alignment. Let's get aligned this year. Don't stand. I want to read it. I'm going to stay in the Bible for a little bit. This is taking a little different turn, but I understand you love the word. Amen? You honor the word. You respect it. So I know you would stand, but I'm going to stop and go, stop and go, stop and go. So I don't want you to stand for the rest of the service. Although it might be good, eh? We stand at a concert for 5 hours. No, I'm kidding. I want to share with you in our scripture reading today about two individuals that 12 went out, 2 came in alignment, 10 didn't. 2 that were in alignment received the release, 10 never got it. I want to talk to you about Caleb and Joshua today, just for a few moments. A man named Moses was a great leader of God. God used him as an amazing individual to free a people. Moses didn't free them. God freed them by using Moses as a vessel to be used because he was obedient and willing to do all that was necessary to do what was needed to fulfill the call. But God comes to Moses in the book of Numbers, the 13th chapter. They'll be on the screen. And he spoke to Moses in verse 1 of the 13th chapter. And he said in verse 2, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel." What he did there is he told Moses that, listen, Moses, you've seen stuff happening, but there's more to it. There's more to the promise. The promise is this promised land that's flowing of milk and honey, that's blessing, that's nourishment, that's all that you will need to physically sustain life. And I want you to send these men out there and get a report from them. And that's what God does. He gives us a promise. He gives us a word. He gives us a vision. He gives us a dream for life, individually, for our family, for our kids, whatever. And he shows us glimpses of it. And so he says, now I want you to go and actually see. They had the opportunity to actually go into the land. And it says that when they went into the land, they spied it out. And then verse 27 says, "Then they came back and told him, 'We had went to the land where you sent us, and it truly is flowing with milk and honey, and this is its fruit.'" See, everything, God, that you said it was going to be, it is. Think about that. Everything that it was declared to be, it is such that. But why? Why did they have to say, nevertheless, but, however? Why? God showed them. God talked to them. He delivered them. He did all these things already. He's like, here's where you... But they hit a pothole. How many of you drive a car? How many of you know when your car's out of alignment, it just messes things up, right? Sometimes your wheel's cockeyed, right? And then when your car's out of alignment, if you let go of the wheel, it like drastically pulls one way or the other, right? Right? Now, you may not know that because we live in this beautiful state of New York in the wintertime. So you don't know what a pothole is. For those who don't know what a pothole is, it's when pieces of the blacktop no longer exist on the road you drive on, and it can get from anywhere from 6 to 12 inches, in some spots 2 foot deep. And while you're playing, you know, serious Super 70s, jamming out to Seals and Crofts, Summer Breeze, in the middle of winter, because you're praying for it to come back, makes me feel fine. You know, you're doing your thing. All of a sudden, your car hits that pothole. And the car jumps up and the wheel starts shaking. All of a sudden, you let go of the wheel and all of a sudden, your car goes, whew, over here. But prior to that, you were like, it was heaven. You were like, oh, man, I can only turn that volume up. Summer breeze. Oh, I love me some Seals and Croft. Oh, yeah. 10 hit a pothole. Something happened. It was really, I believe, more of a faith pothole. More of a, I have a hard time believing because although I see it, I'm not there to accept it. And so that pothole had adjusted their alignment with God. Yet Caleb, he gets up and he's like, let us go at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb didn't hit the pothole. And if he did hit the pothole, he's like, man, I'm going to take it to the service center and get it fixed. It's not a big deal because I got to get someplace because God wants me to go there. And see, 10 had that negative report. 10 got unaligned to the point where Moses began to pray for them, saying, God, forgive them. And if you read the story, it was Caleb and Joshua who were able to go into the promised land because they stayed in alignment with what was happening. I don't know about you, but I want to stay in alignment with what God's saying and doing, because I know that in alignment, what he promised, what his words have said to us, will come to pass. They will. They will come to pass. We can't remove God from the equation. Even Joshua said that the land that we pass through to spy out is exceedingly good in the 14th chapter of the 7th verse. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, the land which is flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Joshua was speaking faith-filled words that day. He was speaking of what his God can do, what his God will do. He was saying, listen, because you see something in the natural doesn't mean that you can't overcome it when God's in control of it in the spirit. He'll make a way where it seems like there's no way. Yes, they may be big, and yes, their city may be fortified, and yes, this, and that, but because God said it, so be it. He stayed in alignment. They stayed in alignment, and today is about you and I staying in alignment. And one of the greatest things that I just read to you that will help you and I stay in alignment is that we have to have the ability to have spiritual perception to what's going on around us. See, do you know that God is moving around you and I all the time? The Spirit of God is moving and doing things behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, on each one of our sides. Now, some of us say, well, I don't see it. I don't sense it. I don't know what's going on. Well, just maybe, because I've been there before myself, is we don't have the spiritual perception to understand or to see what God is doing. And therefore, because my lenses have scales over them, I cleaned my glasses this morning. I don't understand how my glasses get dirty if I don't take them off my face. I don't understand it. So they're cloudy, and I thought, like, man, my eyes are getting worse. And I pulled them off. I was like, whoa. But what happens is, in the spirit realm, that same thing happens. We get a fog, a haziness. We get scales. We get blockers. We get whatever it may be that begin to cover our spiritual eyes of seeing what God may be doing or what God may be saying. And so for us to become spiritually aligned, an important key is that we become spiritually perceptive to what God's saying and doing. See, it wasn't until I became and got a spiritual perception of things, my life was much different. I would hear people say, oh, God is doing this. And I'm like, what God? What are you talking about? You don't know? No, I have no idea. You don't see it. I didn't, because my spiritual perception wasn't there yet. And so because my spiritual perception wasn't there, I wasn't able to align in the degree or the dimension that that individual who was sharing something with me was able to, because their spiritual perception was 20/20 vision. 20/20 Holy Spirit vision to what God is doing and saying. And so we need that spiritual perception. And so even if you look at John chapter 16, it's going to be on the screen for you. Let me read this to you real quick. John chapter 16. It says, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. It goes on and says that he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. See, the Holy Spirit will declare things regarding God. The Holy Spirit will declare what has happened in the heavenlies, what the Father is sending messages to you and I. You and I, we text message, don't we? How many people love text messaging? Yeah. You love text messaging. You get on there, and some of you are impressive. Young folk, young people, you're impressive. You could be like, not even looking. All of a sudden, you feel it vibrate. You read it. You look back up like nothing's happening. Now, some of the older generation with them flip phones. Deet, deet, deet. That's letter C. Deet, 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 A. You can't do that, right? 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 But see, what happens is, unlike our texting back and forth, the Spirit of God speaks to you and I. He reveals the things necessary. He brings Christ and the things of God the Father to a greater clarity to us. He takes us into the deeper truths of God and about the Holy Spirit, about the Word of God, about the Father and what He's done. Through the Spirit, we will experience more of the presence of God. We will experience more of the love of God. We will experience the ability to forgive and to receive forgiveness. We will receive and have the ability to experience the power of God. It will be equipped with spiritual gifts that you and I will need to use each and every day as we move forward in what God's called us to do. See, the Spirit brings honor to Christ and makes us more aware and aligned with Him. But unless the Spirit is in us, there's an issue. Because if He's not in us, how can He download that information to us? We're not computers. I don't have a chip in me. I'll never have a chip put in me, just saying. Do they scan them for my food? And that's not going to happen. I don't care how technical we get. I get freaked out by just putting my credit card in the gas pump, all my information, let alone putting something in my hand that I can just swipe and goes right to my bank account. Come on now. It's a whole other message. But the only way God, not see the whole, but the way God will download to you and I is through the Holy Spirit. But you have to have the Holy Spirit in you to receive the download from heaven. And so this is how spiritual alignment begins. It begins by being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm aligning with God, who you said the Spirit was and what you're talking about. So I download. You ever download something from the computer? I try to. Usually I go to my wife, my daughter, my son, or our media director, because every time I try downloading something, I mess it up. I click things that pop up that I don't know if I should be clicking on, and I just get frustrated. But when you download the Holy Spirit, it's just a direct connection. And He begins to download all that is needed for you and I. It's part of the alignment process. And see, if we're going to begin to birth and have that spiritual perception, you and I need the Holy Spirit. 2019 for healing and outpouring, for intense disciples, for grabbing hold of the Father's heart in a greater dimension. All those things are prerequisite for access to those is the Holy Spirit. We need 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 Him. We can't live without Him. We can't live fullness without Him. We can't be missionaries without Him. We can't be Sunday school teachers without Him. We can't be pastors without Him. We can't be worship leaders and singers. We need the Holy Spirit. We can't, if we don't download what God wants us to download into our everyday lives, we will miss what God may be trying to say to us because we are out of alignment. We are hitting pothole after pothole after pothole. Do you know that when the Holy Spirit is a part of our lives, it's like your backup camera? You got a backup camera in your car? No? Some of you got backup cameras? They're awesome, aren't they? Your insurance company loves you because of that backup camera. See, because like the backup camera, the Holy Spirit, when I'm backing up and I get to a certain point or something's about to happen, things start blinking and flashing and beeping in my car. And it's telling me, stop! Don't go another foot. Because if you do, danger. Something's going to happen. And see, if I continue to do that, I'm going to get hit. Or I'm going to hit something, and I'm going to get my car out of alignment, and therefore I'm going to take it again, need to get it fixed. The Holy Spirit is like that backup camera, or the side cameras, or that thing when you put your blinker on, and now your light begins to flash if somebody's in your blind spot. It's telling you, pothole ahead. If you hit this pothole, if you continue down this path, you're going to come out of alignment with the Father. And He doesn't want that to happen. And so the Holy Spirit mustn't just be resident within us. It has to be actually activated and working. Because how many people know that you can have OnStar in your car, but not have it plugged in and working? Because when you buy a car or lease a car, they want to give you 30 days free so they can, you know, have you buy it. But most people, not most, but some people be like, yeah, turn that off right now because I'm not using it. But you're equipped with it, but it's doing nothing. We may be equipped and have it, but it just may be, we may have said, be dormant within me. And God's like, no. If He's dormant within you, you will fall out of alignment. And God wants you and I to be aligned in Him. And the Holy Spirit is one of the greatest things needed for this alignment. I believe 2019, this is my New Year's message, by the way, if you haven't noticed yet. I believe 2019 is really a year of breakthrough for us in the church. I believe it's a year of breakthrough for us corporately here at Southtowns, but more importantly, I believe it's a breakthrough for you individually as a church family, as individual people, where you live and where you do life. I really believe that. I believe because of your faithfulness and your ability to stay connected to God, God's going to do something spectacular. I believe that. I believe that for you. I pray that for you. And so how do we stay connected? How do we stay aligned? How do we stay with the spiritual perception? We look at Jesus. And I look at Jesus as an example before I give you just four words and close and pray with you. I think about Jesus. How did Jesus stay focused? How did Jesus stay aligned with His mission, with the love that He had for the Father, with the purpose that He was called to do? How did He stay true to Himself and being the Son of God? You know how He did it? I understand He's Jesus. Let's take away He's the Son of God factor. How did He do it? How would He have done it if He wasn't, you know, Jesus in that sense? He did it through His daily habits. How many of us have habits? We all got habits? We all got habits. Come on. We all got habits. Think about it. Some of you get up the same way every day. Or at night, you lay your clothes out a certain way. Yeah, I have a habit on Saturdays. I'll tell you, my habit is I iron all my clothes on Saturdays, and I lay them out a certain way. And then I get my shoes, and I try to match them to the clothes that I have. And I ask my wife, I used to ask my daughter, but now, you know, oh, thank you for the prayers. My daughter's doing amazing abroad. She's doing awesome. I'm doing better. I'm getting myself back together. We're gathering ourselves back together. But I would ask them, does this match, doesn't that match? And she'd be like, oh, Dad, please do not wear that tomorrow. And I'm like, yes, baby, I get it. And so I have a habit, so I get that. I lay my shoes out, and I lay my socks out, and I have my shirt hanging a certain way after I ironed it and checked it and re-ironed it and checked it one more time. I'm like, yeah, now we're good to go. And so I have a habit, and then Sunday mornings, the alarm goes off at 5 to 6, and I get my day going, and Sunday mornings, and I'm here. And so I have we all have habits. Let's be honest with you, with ourselves. We have habits. Jesus had habits. And the reason that I believe, not only because he was the Son of God, that he was able to stay in alignment with God was because of his spiritual habits and disciplines that were non-negotiable to anything else in his life. How many times did we hear Jesus say, "Let's pray. Stay here while I go off and pray"? One of the habits that was necessary for Jesus was to spend time alone with Daddy. Just himself. At times with the disciples, at times with other people, but it was a habit because in that alone time with God, there was a connection that was being made. When you and I spend alone time with God, because the Holy Spirit is within us, because it's that connection, that downloadable thing that we need within us, in that alone time with God, there's a connection, and that connection helps us to stay aligned because it's there where God would speak to us. He was also very faithful in his ability. Totally forgot what my other one was. Hang on. In his ability to apply the Word of God. He not only talked about what the Father said, not only shared what, but he actually applied it so others would see it. And it was not only a benefit to others, but it was a benefit to himself. So his habit of daily praying, but it was also applying what God was saying to his everyday life. It was a habit that was needed. Another habit is very simply this. He had a habit of abiding in the unconditional love of God. He released the love of God. He was receiving the love that God had for him as his son, but he walked with it and he released it and he shared it and he let it go out to everyone around them. It's a habit. We need habits. I started this message off by saying, how many of us made declarations? Well, to fulfill those declarations, they're going to need action. But to sustain those actions, we're going to need habits. And they need to be spiritual habits, disciplines that are necessary because we need the Holy Spirit to continue to keep us aligned with the Father. And the way I stay aligned with the Father is through prayer and through fasting and through the daily spiritual habits that are so necessary that I'm not telling you to do, that Jesus showed us how to do. How Jesus showed us how to do. Alignment brings release. Alignment brings release. You with me still? Let me give you four words and I'm going to close this. This won't take long at all. Worship team, come on up. Let me give you four words. You getting something out of this today? Amen? I really believe that this year is going to be an amazing year. I believe not only for church, but I believe for people's lives. I believe there's going to be such an amazing move of God that we haven't seen in a while. There's a lot of hungry people that are like, hear how I say this, sick and tired of being sick and tired about what of wanting God to do something, that they're willing to do what is necessary to get to that point where God is going to move. And he's hearing the cries of his people, and he's beginning to roll back the heavens. He's beginning to roll back so the presence of God will consume this earth. We need it. We need it. We need it. We need an Azusa Street. We need a Rochester gathering that Charles Finney had. We need some tent meetings like Oral Roberts and Billy Graham had. Not just because it gathered people, but because the kingdom of God was being built. Because in those meetings, God was released and unleashed upon a group of people that came to hear and to be a part of what's happening. We need the move of what took place in the 40s and the 50s across this country, that there was revival happening and going on. We need a Brownsville. We need a Toronto blessing. We need an outpouring in that fashion today. We need to have the attitude that God, we need it now. And I'm willing to become the radical that you need me to be and the vessel that you want me to be used to help usher that in, God. I'll have some daily habits. I'll do what is necessary, but God, we need it. I want to be aligned with you, God, because I want release, not only for myself, but for other people as well. I'm taking my eyes off of me, God, but I'm also putting in other people that they would be blessed and touched. Let me give you four words that are going to help you stay stay aligned. The first one is process. Understand that alignment is a process. It's not a statement, it's not a moment, but it's a process. Process is a series of actions and steps that are taken in order to achieve something. You and I being aligned with God is a process. It's going to take steps that we're going to take and need to take in order to be aligned with what God is doing. And in this time of process, in this time of doing what I need to do on my behalf to be where God needs me to be, understand this, that we need to realize that your background and your past does not define who you are today. You need to understand that, because sometimes the minute we begin to do something, we think about our past or who we were or what people, we need to realize that does not determine who you are. Who determines who you are is what God's voice says you are and what the Word of God says you are, not what some man says you are. That's your past. Leave it behind. And if it hasn't changed yet, then make today the first day tomorrow of your past and step into what God has for you today. Understand this in process, that our attitude and our outlook will be one that it needs to be looked at and understood, because we have to begin to walk through life looking through the lenses of optimism, of faith-filled living, of the positive, of being uplifting. Instead of walking around saying, oh, God's not moving. Oh, not blessed today. Oh, that glass is half full. Oh, it's about to this. No, we need to switch our thinking and say, God, thank you for your promises. God, I look at that. No, it's not where it should be. But God, thank you that it's going to be where it needs to be when you release from heavens what's about to happen. See, it's a process, and we have to go through the process of changing how we think and how we speak, and understanding the process that it's a journey. And that on our journey, you cannot allow, and I cannot allow what I see in the natural to affect what God is doing in the supernatural. Because with my eyes, I may not see it happening, but God is working on the side of me. He's working in behind me. He's working in front of me. And he just hasn't given me a glimpse yet. But you know what? I will not let that determine if I believe it's going to happen or not going to happen. Because God, I know what your word says, so I don't see it happening now. So I call to those things that aren't as though they are, that God, you would open up the heavens and begin to do something right now in the now. Whether you're on the mountain or in the valley, understand you're not going to live in either one of those places. You're not going to live your whole life on the mountaintop, but you're not going to live your whole life in the valley. So you will have times of both. But in the midst of wherever you're at, don't allow what you see to determine what you think God is doing or not doing. Amen? That was word one. Word two, potential. Everyone in this room has potential. Every one of you has potential to live above and beyond what you even possibly can think you can. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit that will dwell within you, that will strengthen you, that will power you, that will encourage you, that will tell you things that the Father wants you to know. Understand that with your potential, you will be able to walk out those established plans that he has for you. Jeremiah talks about those plans. They're to help, they're to bring hope, they're a future. They're all set before you. You have potential. You have potential. Understand, word number three, prioritize. We have to begin to prioritize in our lives. We have to prioritize in our lives. We have to prioritize where God is in our lives and where God stands in our lives. Is he at the top, or is he at the bottom? Or is he at the top of this one but at the bottom of that one? We have to really prioritize our lives. We have to begin to understand where God is and what we need to do. See, I read this, and I think it's important to share. Let me give you four things underneath prioritize. One, we need to prioritize the God principle. Is what we're doing and how we are and where we're at, is it pleasing to God? And would it put a smile on his face? I used to tell that young people all the time. If you're about to do something today, if what you're about to do, can we take that moment and put it on the news and have you sit next to your grandmother and watch it in front of the whole family? They're like, whoa, pastor, you crossed the line. No, I didn't cross the line. I just want you to think about what you're about to do. Is it going to put a smile on God's face? Is it going to be like, what? No, son, no, daughter. We need to prioritize what we do, how we are, what's happening, and it's the God principle. Is it pleasing to God? The home principle, is it best for my family? Let me share something with you. God will not have you lose your family over ministry things. God will not have me be the pastor of this church at the cost of my wife and my children. That's not God's order. So we walk through life and we try to say, well, it's God this and God that, and yet we're allowing the devil to come in and tell us things, and it pulls us away and it's breaking up things. And so we have to understand when we prioritize things, the home principle, is this good for my family? Because God will give you the strategy to continue to be the missionary, to continue to be who God called you to be, but also to be the man or the woman or the husband or the wife, the son or the daughter that is bringing a blessing to the family, that is uplifting in the family. Ask yourself this, the value and influence principle. Does it have eternal value? Is it going to affect people? And then the last one is the potential principle. Does it utilize my gifts? My talents. And the last word is this, because I went over a couple minutes, is the fourth word is proceed. You now got to do something. We got to do something with the word. God's called us to a line. We got to do something. James says, don't just hear it, but do it. Don't be hearers of it only. Become doers of it. Matthew says that we are the salt and the light. In other words, we're to be out there. We're to be doing. We're to be releasers. Make something happen. Make something happen. There are three types of people. Those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who don't know what's even happening. We need to proceed. We need to proceed. Four words for alignment that will help us. Process, potential, prioritize, and proceed. Let's stand to our feet. God's called us to alignment. And if I could drive home the key point to today, is that we need the Spirit of God living and dwelling within us. We need Him to give us a spiritual perception that will help us stay aligned with God. Just like we're conscious now that winter's here, of driving on the road, that we don't hit the potholes to get pulled off of the course or out of alignment of what we're doing. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives to keep us spiritually perceptive of what God is saying and what God is doing to stay on course. Because when we're on course, there's a release. When we're aligned, there's a release. Amen? So I want to pray with you. Can I pray for you regarding the Holy Spirit? Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If that's you, just raise your hand. I need more of the Holy Spirit. Real quick, put it down when you give it. Anyone else? All right, across the whole room. Across the whole room. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, God, for every hand that went up. I thank you that, God, you spoke a word to them today through this teaching that stirred something within them that says, you know what? The Holy Spirit is so needed in my life in a greater dimension because I want to be aligned with you. Father, I speak for myself, and I'm sure I speak for even the worship team, that God, their declaration is the same. I want to be aligned with what you have for me and for this church. Father, I declare that this day we would have that upper room experience. That, Father, that we would have a time where the heavens would open up, that your Spirit would descend upon your people and fill them. And God, that filling would be so overwhelming, be so powerful, so life-changing, God, there would be an evidence of it. Father, I declare that this day, that this church and that these people have made a decision to be aligned, to be aligned to your call, aligned to your words, aligned to your promises. I would ask that your Spirit empowers us to stay there. And Father, I thank you for the words that you have spoken about what 2019 represent and what you're going to do. Not what I said we're going to do, not what someone else said, but what you said would happen as those who are faithful and are willing to get on board, be willing to step out. Help us with our daily habits, just as Jesus had. Help us with our prayer time and our study time and our ability to unconditionally love and our ability to abide in your way, O God, to stay connected to the Father's heart. Father, help us with the process. Help us, Father, as we prioritize. Help us, Father, as we proceed. Help us, God, as we begin to do those things necessary to stay in alignment. We need more of you, God, and less of us. I ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen and amen. I want to leave the altars open. Go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap. We're going to leave the altars open. Elders, come on down here. We're going to leave the altars open for prayer of anything that you need.